Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 3. Today, I have a very special guest. So I want to tell you a little bit about how I found this person. And I think it's super important in the ideas of not being so much in our head and our stories, what we allow ourselves to find if we're not stuck in old belief systems and what we think is true about ourselves. So I met a friend, probably it was back in September of last year, and she kept inviting me to go dancing with her. And I kept saying no, because I had an idea of what that meant in my mind, what it meant to go dancing. And I knew that she did partner dancing. And so I remember I actually did go with her one time, and I walked into this event with her and I saw people partner dancing. And I immediately was like, nope, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to leave. This is not my thing. This is not something that I do. This isn't part of my story. This isn't who I think I believe myself to be, whatever. And I ended up doing it and I had so much fun. And then shortly after that, she invited me to another event at another studio. And it was a similar situation where I walked into this experience. It was a dance lesson, a partner dance lesson. And I was incredibly uncomfortable. But I did it anyways. It wasn't something that I had ever done before. It wasn't a part of who I thought that I was or something that I thought I would do, but I did it. I totally surrendered. I was vulnerable. And now if you followed my social media at all, you see that I dance all the time, pretty much every day. It's a huge part of my life. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. Now I want to introduce my guest today. So he is the owner of the second place that I went to, and I tell him all the time, I literally attach myself to the side of him and I'm never leaving because I love it so much. So welcome, Michael Haug, to the Live Your Life podcast.
Jasmine, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. So dancing isn't something that was a part of my life. And from my understanding of your story, it wasn't necessarily a part of your life either. So I'm wondering if you can share with us a little bit about, maybe start with what your studio is so people have a little idea of what you're doing now, but tell us a little bit about how you got there.
I would love to. So my studio is a place where I help people discover movement, discover dance. I call it from within, where I help people go through experiences to learn a physical language, I call it, empowering you to dance freely, however you feel. So it's training to move your body by yourself, with your partner, and really be in your body versus trying to think about what you're supposed to be doing. Living in the moment, Jasmine, being alive.
Totally.
And dancing in the moment and giving people the confidence, the power, the awareness. Because if you don't have the awareness, you don't really know what you're doing. And how do you get the awareness? You get the awareness through experiences. So I've put together a program that gives people the awareness on how to feel their best, be their best selves on the dance floor. And that is what Flow Fluently is all about. That's my mission, to help people realize that dancing can be one of the most amazing skills, qualities you can have if you just know how to do it. So that's what I do for a living. And dancing, you're right. Dancing was not a part of my life. I had so much fear of dancing. I would dance as a kid when no one was watching for about, I don't know, 30 seconds, like crazy, when a song moved me, because I really liked music. And when a song moved me and no one was watching, I would dance to it. But that was the extent of my dancing growing up. And growing up, I was really focused on being cool, fitting in, you know, being an athlete. I worked hard for my grades. I wanted to be the best at everything. And it was really a mental game for me growing up. And it was always a struggle for me trying to like be that individual that I imprinted in my mind who I want to be, who I should be. And I never felt like I was succeeding. So after college, I kind of just threw in the towel and gave up and said, okay, what I believe life to be is not working. So maybe I'm doing it all wrong. Maybe I don't know how to live my life. And that's when I just said, I'm going to clean slate, open my mind, and just experience life and take it for what it is and grow and discover what's important to me. And what I found is important to me is feelings. Feelings are important to me. Feelings make me feel alive. Feelings make me motivated to keep going. And then the question was, how do you discover these feelings? And I found it's through experiences, through new experiences, through experiences that make you feel feelings that you haven't experienced before. Then I came across dancing on Craigslist, looking for a career. I was open to anything, and a ballroom company, Arthur Murray, said they would teach me how to dance and teach me how to teach dance at the same time. And for me, that sounded crazy. But I was drawn to crazy. I was open to all opportunities. So I went for it. I did the interview. I told them I loved gardening. I didn't love gardening. I just had so much fun with the interview. And they liked me. And I went through the training program. I became obsessed with ballroom dance. I couldn't believe how much fun I had with it. I was doing it 3 hours a day. I was feeling feelings I have never discovered before. I didn't know existed. I was slightly upset that I hadn't discovered them in the past. And I was wondering why the whole world doesn't know how to dance. It's because it's such a powerful skill to have.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in and interrupt you for just a second. So you've said this a couple times, like you let the importance of feeling your feelings. So can you say more about that? What does that mean? You started feeling your feelings.
I started going through experiences or with my mind being open. What does that even mean? How do you feel your feelings, right? You go through experiences and you just let them happen. And without like a predetermined idea of what you want to happen.
So it sounds to me like a lot of what you're saying is just being fully present with whatever's happening, like whatever's authentically happening for you in that moment. So you're not necessarily experiencing like powerful emotions, like maybe you are, but you're present with your experience. Like you're allowing yourself to actually be here and be physically in your body, which connects us with reality, the way that we feel. I mean, we could go so much deeper, like the truth about who we are. But I think that's what I hear you saying when you talk about feelings is just being here with yourself and like feeling the truth of what's happening.
Something I, during that time, something I discovered was how to speak freely. I called it thinking out loud, where I was comfortable with just expressing my feelings through language and not filtering it through my mind. My actions, my feelings, everything I felt, I wouldn't filter through my mind to express to the world because that was what was putting me behind. That's what I felt like I was never being exactly who I wanted to be. So I had the confidence, the self-power to just act in the moment and freely express myself physically, verbally. And that allowed me to feel the moment without any preconceived vision on what that moment should feel like.
So might I say it allowed you to flow in your life authentically?
I would say that's true. It allowed me to flow. It allowed me to flow with the opportunities that were given to me and not control it, just influence it.
Which is the name of your studio, Flow.
Which is the name
flow
of my
fluently.
Studio. Flow Fluently. Learning how to flow on the dance floor with another individual in partnership and be present in the moment and feel each other, Jasmine. Flow Fluently is all about learning how to physically connect and communicate your feelings through movement, through touch, interactions. And I call it a physical language. Literally, it's a physical language.
So I kind of drove that into the current, but I want to hear more about how your process too. So you started really understanding what it felt like to be free and be in the moment. And it wasn't just like an experience that you had that was valuable. It was like something shifted for you and you started creating a business and like a career based on this.
Yes. So let me get back to working at the ballroom studio. So when you go through an experience that's new, that's fresh, you get these new feelings. Does that make sense? Obviously. And those new feelings keep you feeling alive, keep you motivated for more, right? So like as a kid, we are bombarded with new experiences, new feelings, and we're so excited about life. And then as we get older, we start to start recycling these new these experiences. And then those feelings start to, from my experience, drown away. Just like a drug. Everything's great. And then the more you do it, you just start recycling the same experiences, and the same feelings. So with ballroom dance, when I was learning these new dances, it was amazing. I was learning these at all dances, all styles. They have these patterns. You learn these patterns, and then you learn how to connect them and dance with partnership, which was great. But once you know them and you start to recycle them, those new experiences no longer become new. Those feelings get compromised. And I realized that. And so my whole goal was, how can we learn partnership dance where every time you dance, it's a completely new original experience? And it's the exact experience that you feel that you can imagine you having. So when I was learning partnership or ballroom dance, my whole goal was, how can I turn this into a basic, like, logical language where it just makes complete sense, so anybody can do it to any music they want to do it to, and then they can dance however they feel, move however they feel for the rest of their life, just like English or Spanish. You understand the language and you can use it, and every conversation is new, it's fresh. We don't have to say the same conversation all the time. That makes sense.
Yes. So how did it turn into your career?
How did it turn into my career? Well, there was a need for it. No one else, from my knowledge, was doing this. And I became obsessed with understanding how to turn partnership dance into the most like amazing activity of all time. And I found out I had to open up my own studio to keep the dream alive, to move forward in my ambitions.
How did you know that people needed this?
Because when I started dancing, first off, I didn't know people needed this. But when I first started dancing, I was in a really good place in my life. I didn't feel like I needed to fit in. I had a lot of confidence. But this dancing that I acquired elevated my life so much higher to a level of feeling that I've never discovered before. And we are living beings. We're designed to feel, to be alive, right? To be in our bodies. And I'm learning we are living in a mental world, and we need an excuse to come back into our bodies. We need to be excited to come back into our bodies. I can see how much happiness and good this can bring to the world. I know that it brings happiness and good into my world. And I strive to live in a world where everyone can experience these feelings so we can communicate and create together in ways we didn't know possible. And that's my dream and my vision. I see that. I know it can happen. And that's what I'm fighting for every day, to create that vision.
So I think, going back to what you said, where this was needed, I think that you're talking about something so much bigger than even just having evidence that people needed it or that somebody told you that they need it. Because I think most of the world doesn't realize that they do need this. They don't even realize it. And I think that you probably recognized an unmet need that so many of us don't even see. It's like beyond our consciousness. It's beyond something we could ever imagine that we needed. And so that's like when I walked into your studio for the first time, I would have never been like, you know what I really need? I need to go sign up for some partner dancing. That's what I need. I would have never probably Googled that or known that that was something that I need. But because I've experienced it and because I understand how powerful it is, it's absolutely something that I need in my life, but it's not something I would have known that I needed. So I think you're saying something so big, but it's something that people, they don't ask for, but they do need it. And I'd be curious to hear like the shifts that you see in people once they, I mean, most people probably come to you because, well, actually, I don't know. I'll let you say, like, why do people find you? And what do you see happen for them as they start the process of learning how to flow dance?
How do people find me? So I get a myriad of students, all ages. I get single students who are learning how to dance, to know how to dance, to elevate their life. And couples. I get a lot of couples who are getting married. I also get a lot of couples who just like to grow together, who like to learn how to dance together. Most of my students are new. They haven't experienced dance before. They don't know what dancing is, and they're looking for an opportunity to love it. And from day one, so when you start a process, you start, I guess, what would you say, formatting the student, right? Training the student on how to learn. And the more we can learn through our body, through our experiences, rather than processing it through our mind first, meaning you are put into experiences to feel what you can and cannot do, the more you will build the confidence to stay in your body and continue to learn through your body versus asking or resorting to your mind to know what to do next. Because when you're in the moment, you don't know what to do next. You're just doing. And then the next thing happens, and then the next thing happens, and the next thing you know, you're flowing, whether it's on the dance floor or any other part of life. And what students experience is they are feeling experiences. It's hard to explain. So what my thing is, I'm very hands-on, and I teach it as a language, meaning both will learn how to lead and follow. So with the guys, I lead them. So they feel what to do, and then they lead their partner through that feeling. Same with the ladies. I lead the ladies to feel what to do, and then they follow it and or they lead it as well. So they can feel what this movement, what this interaction does for you. And their purpose is how to recreate those feelings. I compare it a lot to kind of a carnival ride. You're moving all over the place. You're interacting with each other. And it just never stops giving, and you never know what's going to happen next. Every new song gives you different feelings. Every new partner gives you different feelings. It's the same partner with every new song gives you different feelings. So every experience is always a fresh new experience. It never gets repetitive. And when it feels great, you want to keep going for more. It's addictive. And that's what people find, that is addictive to feel good in their bodies.
One thing that I realized was how it's such a powerful metaphor for a healthy relationship. So obviously I started dancing alone with Michael. And so I learned how to dance solo. And then a lot of my partner dancing was with Michael. But one thing that we went through and talked about a lot was how do you experience what your partner is doing and match what they're doing? It's a way that you're paying attention to another human that we don't necessarily learn how to do. So I know I've worked with couples, lots of couples in relationship stuff, and I work with people on their relationships. When you have a physical manifestation of the dynamic, the relational dynamics, and you can actually see it physically happening with two people, you can understand your relationship so much better. So this kind of invitation to be authentic in your body and do what feels good and then match that with another human being is such a powerful way to understand the way that you show up in relationship. Like, how do your insecurities play out in relationship? How do you ask for what you want? So Michael would make me lead, and I didn't want to. I wanted somebody else to be in charge. I wanted them to tell me what to do. It is super vulnerable for me. It felt incredibly vulnerable to let myself be completely present in my body and do what feels good, and then have somebody else match me and follow me. So leading somebody else in an experience, it's still hard for me. I haven't been doing it for that long. It's definitely easier. But something that we talked about a lot in the beginning of working together was how often the physical work that we're doing in this dance plays out ideas that happen in relationships. It's incredibly powerful. I think every couple should experience this. And I think it would help a lot of relationship problems too, of just really physically understanding that your partner is a separate person. They have a separate body. How do you pay attention to what they're doing, not only on the dance floor, but letting that flow out into your relationship as well? Like, how can you allow room and space for your partner and still be together? Because with dancing, you can't be completely separated. You can't be completely leaning on each other. I just think there's so many beautiful metaphors for healthy relationship that play out in dance dynamics.
Yep, I totally agree with you, Jasmine. Jasmine, I got a question for you. Following versus leading, what were the different feelings of fear, excitement that you experienced with those two different sides of the partnership?
I think following is just, that's kind of what I did in the beginning, and that's what I would like to do forever, basically. I don't want to lead. Okay. But it's really fun. You also don't really have to think. You just kind of go with the flow. But I also think you do have to think a little bit. You have to be aware of what the leader is showing you and match what they're doing. But it just, to me, it feels a lot more playful. But then with leading, I think it's also super playful because I think you're the one creating the dynamic of what's happening. But I would kind of, I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about, am I doing this right? Am I doing life right, basically? And I think this plays out with dance too. I know over and over and over, I would say to you, like, I need more moves. Like, I don't know what to do here. And you would just continue to tell me, just do what feels good. Just be in your body and do something that feels good. And then when I allowed myself to do that, you would just show up and follow me and just keep doing things that felt really good. But I think in our lives, we try to figure it out. We want to have a plan. I want to do it right. Because what does that even mean? Like, you know, going back to what you said earlier of like the way that you learned to do life or that you were doing life wasn't working for you. I feel like it's the same with dance where it's like, I need an agenda. I need a plan, but that's actually not what you need to do. What you need to do is physically just be, well, you don't need to do anything, but it's, the whole idea is to be present in your body and pay attention to what your body wants to do and just allow it to do something that feels good. So I think going back to what I was saying earlier, just like leading to me feels incredibly vulnerable to me. And that's my personality. And I would imagine there's a lot of leads who prefer to lead because they want to be in control. They want to be able to manage like where the dance is going to go or whatever. And I think with time, I'll get there, but both experiences feel completely different for me. I absolutely, I don't want to say hate, but I very much dislike leading. Mm-hmm. They just feel like two completely different experiences to me.
So going back to the couples, learning both lead and follow is super helpful because you understand both sides of the roles. And traditional dance, one person leads, one person follows. And in couples, I've experienced that if the dance isn't going as they would like to go and they don't know why it's not working out, if you only understand one side of the rule, we have a tendency to start blaming, say, maybe the other person or blaming myself, when in reality, we both can be doing better to improve the outcome of the dance, of the partnership. But if we don't understand both sides of the rule, it's hard to realize that. So for couples, when they learn how to dance, they learn how to both lead and follow. First off, they build a huge respect for each other because say I'm leading and you're following and I'm having troubles how to lead. So I say, okay, let's switch. Jasmine, you're leading now. And then you go through the same experiences and you realize how challenging it is. All of a sudden, we have a complete respect for each other and we want to work together to figure out how to lead so we both can do it. Right?
I think it's a powerful representation of empathy. You can really understand the other person's perspective because you're doing it, you're experiencing it. It's like an embodied experience.
Yeah. And it becomes exciting too, because they're both learning this skill together and then they take turns leading and they take turns following and they know they could feel that it's not easy or what their partner is going through. So they have a complete respect. You're right. Complete empathy for what's happening. And instead of working separately to create, they're completely working together, working to create their partnership flow. And that's how every dance becomes an original experience. Dancing through life. Dancing from my opinion, when people think of dancing, it's not like a prescripted style of what you're supposed to be doing. Like a dance, like when you're dancing, like you're dancing through life or whatever you're doing, it's unconditioned. It's just, you're just like playing with the moment, right? Playing with what's happening. You're dancing in the moment. And if we can give people the structure to experience that and to learn how to do that and let them want to be vulnerable, feel confident being vulnerable, and feel like they are always succeeding, then they can learn how to dance. Now I'm pitching it. I always find myself pitching it. But then the fear kind of melts away and the excitement comes to life.
I don't know if there's any other thing that's like dancing that invites us to such, I mean, I'm sure there is, maybe, you know, making music or writing, I'm sure for some people, but I personally have never experienced anything that's invited me into such an authentic experience and vulnerable experience of feeling my body like this. I've never experienced anything like it. It's incredibly powerful. And we don't receive these invitations. We don't even know that they exist.
Something I have a challenging time doing is describing how it feels to dance. You know, the feelings you get from it. What's your take on that? How would you describe the feelings that dancing provides you?
Dancing. So one thing, it makes me think about what a different experience I have depending on if I like the music or not. If I don't like the music, I don't have a good time. Like you and I have recorded so many dances together and I'll look back and be like, yeah, I don't like that one. I don't like the way that I dance. I feel like I didn't know what to do. So just the movement wasn't super flowy. But if I like the music, it is a completely different experience. And I'll quote Wayne Dyer when he used to talk about what inspiration is. It's like connection with God, which can mean so many things. But in this context, I feel like the inspiration that I feel when I'm dancing is the most powerful connection that I can have with like the core of who I am, like the core of the most authentic version of myself, like allowing myself to move in ways that feel good, moving my body in connection with like what I'm hearing. It's like this aligned experience and it feels so good. It feels right, I think, is the other part. Like it feels like the truth. It feels like this is what we're meant to do, but we just don't do it. Maybe we do it more little. I know I used to do it when I was like, you know, drinking at the club or whatever, when I was however old, 22, 21. And then now the only opportunities that I really have to dance are like at weddings, because I don't really go to bars or clubs until now, of course, when I started dancing. But when I go to weddings, I see other people and I see how much other people love to be connected with the music, connected with themselves. And I just don't believe we allow ourselves the opportunity to do that. So there's that part of it. There's the part that just feels like it feels like the truth. There's something about it that feels like it's what I'm meant to do here, to feel my body, to be this human being, to be here, to do what feels good and what feels right and connect with myself and love myself. And then there's like this whole other part of it that you're teaching, which is how do you do that in connection with another person? So I believe that we are completely meant to be with ourselves and feel good in our bodies. But I also believe that a huge part of what it means to be human is the human connection, the part of being connected with another person. And I know like one of the lessons that I've had with you is just where we feel each other breathe. And that is an incredibly intimate experience to be standing with somebody and just being aware that you're breathing together. And right now, you know, we're in day whatever, I don't even know, of quarantine. And I haven't been able to physically connect with other people. And so we've been doing a lot of dancing online, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But this human connection is absolutely what we are here for. It's what we're meant to do. It's something that is supposed to feel good. And I think our world, especially in partnership, the only way that we're taught how to do this is during sex, which is of course an intimate experience. But it's like you have sex and then there's not a whole lot of like the physical body connection that happens when you're dancing. Like What does it mean if I touch your arm? What does it mean if we twist this way together? What does it mean if I lean back? Like all of these things that you're doing in partnership that feel to just know another person is present with you. It feels so good. And it's hard to explain, but it feels right. It feels like what we're here for. It feels like what we're meant to do here. It feels so good.
Connection.
Yes.
It's all about that connection, right?
Yeah. It makes us feel like we're not alone. Like, what is it like to be physically connected with another human body and be doing this together? It's incredibly powerful.
Connecting with the music. You're right. Music, if that music moves you, it's mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And when you do that with a partner, when you have that connection with your partner, it's a physical connection. It could be like, just like speaking with different people, you have a connection, you know, a physical connection with different people.
Like some, chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry. Some is stronger with others. And the stronger the connection you have, the more you can do, the more you can feel, the more you can experience. So it's all about building that connection. How strong of a connection can you have? How much can we do? How much can we feel with each other? And that's an addiction for me. That's like the pinnacle of my research, my development, is how strong of a connection can we possibly create with each other? And we don't know what we can create until we develop that connection, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say, because I have to, that a lot of addictions take us out of our bodies. They take us out of the present. It's dissociative. So I think that what you're calling an addiction is just like a natural human connection that actually brings us fulfillment, but the world doesn't see it as an important thing. But you're so drawn to it because you know the truth. Like, you know, you've had like a taste of how good it feels and how important it is.
It's an addiction to life.
Right, but it's just the truth. It's like you're just fully in your life and doing what feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, and doing it with somebody else. Yeah, you're totally right.
I think it's so important to go back to what you were saying earlier, like being cool and fitting in and doing what we should be doing. And this is a big part of the work that I do. And like part of the motivation for this podcast is that I think so many people are doing what they should be doing. And what does that even mean? Like, you know, do you want to die and have your tombstone say like, you know, Michael did everything he should have done? What does that even mean? What does that mean? So I think it's these uncomfortable feelings that make us like step back and check in and be like, what am I doing with my life? So you're seeking all these things. And I'm the same way, where like things in my life didn't seem to be working for me. Like a lot of the things that I was doing, they made me super unhappy. I had an experience that felt like failure in so many parts of my life. But now I'm so incredibly grateful that I failed at the shoulds. I failed at a lot of the shoulds, because what that drew me to was like a more fulfilling and authentic life. So thank God I failed at some of those shoulds. And thank God you failed at those too. Like, you actually had the ability to ask the question of like, okay, there's these things that I've been told by who that I should be doing, but what if I just dance instead? Like, what if I just feel good in my body? And like, I post videos of myself dancing all the time on my social media. And I used to see other people doing that and I thought they were weird. And sometimes I see my own videos and I'm like, people probably think I'm so weird. But I would so much rather be weird and feel good and happy in my body than live the life that tells me I should live. Like, who tells me what I should be doing? Dan, you know, during this quarantine period, people are super unhappy. And I think a big part of it is they can't act out on the addictions or the things that they've been told they should be doing. So we're left with just being here. And so part of what I have found it to be my duty to do is bring people inspiration, connect people with parts of the truth, whatever that means to me that day or whatever. But by dancing and inviting people to do this, maybe it does look weird. Maybe it's not what like the invisible authority would tell me I should be doing on my social media, but it's what I'm going to do. And it's the kind of life that I want to live, where I'm actually experiencing the things that feel good to me, regardless of like whether anybody else on my social media feed is doing that. Like, I don't see a whole lot of people posting videos of themselves dancing. And if they do, it's often for different reasons. They are actually like good dancers and they look good doing it. I'm doing it because the kind of life that I want to live is a life that feels good and feels authentic to me. It's not a life of somebody telling me what I should be doing. I think it's super important.
Sorry, Jasmine. Sorry to interrupt. But for you, so people, I notice that people, you can feel the energy as you see someone dance. You can feel their energy, right? So with you, with hopefully with me, like definitely with you, you're just full of love and excitement with that energy. And when people see that, they're drawn to that, right?
Yeah.
You don't look, you can't look stupid. Why? Because you're so real that anything you do feels good and looks good. And so that's my point of view. When people are trying to look good or be cool, maybe it does look good, but I believe that that describing yourself as weird, fine, but I think people are definitely inspired by your weirdness.
I think you're right. People actually say that to me. And I think if you're doing it with like the hope of looking good and you bring that energy of like scarcity and insecurity and people can feel that. And for me, like absolutely. I feel happy. I feel like love. I'm like radiating these good feelings. And I was really shocked at how many people gave me feedback about my dance videos. People love my dance videos. It like shocks me because I'm just like, whatever, this is ridiculous. But I think people need those invitations to feel good. And this is a way that feels so good. Even just witnessing it feels really good.
Yeah. So that's our role. You think that's our role? How do we inspire through action?
I think so. I think people see how we live our lives and that's an invitation.
Sometimes for me, actually all the time for me. So I'm a quote unquote professional dancer. For me, honestly, it's weird for me to think of myself as a dancer because growing up, I wasn't a dancer. And today, I still don't consider myself... I love to dance. I want to be the best dancer possible. That's a goal. But labeling myself as a dancer is still new to me. It's still something that I need to learn to get comfortable with because I don't want to fit a profile. I always strive to empower myself to be as free as possible in the moment. And as a professional and as someone teaching, a lot of times it's challenging for me because I want to look the part, right? But I find the more I can slow down, back up, and realize that I do this to feel good and focus on my feelings, that doesn't matter how I look. They're going to be drawn to it and they're going to be sold and want to be part of that no matter what, which is something I am constantly working on. There's a reason I don't have mirrors in the studio, because we don't want to be drawn to our mental state by looking and saying, this is how I need to dance.
I love watching you dance. So obviously when you're dancing with me, like I'm pretty new, so you're trying to match like my level to a certain extent. But I know, and we'll maybe go into like the video dance sessions, but like when I think you sent me a video of you just like totally feeling it and being super authentic. And it just made me so happy to watch it. I was like, oh my gosh, I love watching it. It makes me so happy to just see you totally in the groove, like feeling it, going after it. Like it's really amazing to see. And I remember the first time I danced with you, which I'm so grateful, our friend took a video of me dancing with you the first time I ever danced with you. And I remember like, it was super fun. Of course, like I felt like dance chemistry with you immediately, just like having fun. But I remember you like, you pretended to shoot like a basketball hoop while we were like a basketball shot while we were dancing. Like I've never seen anybody do that before, but you were just like, you were just feeling it totally authentically. You just like being super goofy and having such a good time. And like, that is good dancing, like feeling good and having a good time. And people can totally feel that when they see you. I felt it. I still feel it.
I had a real good dancer's high that night.
I mean, you have a dancer's high like most of the time.
Yeah. So you get the dancer's high?
I mean, yeah, totally. And I posted a video on, so every Friday night, right now during quarantine, Michael's doing a dance party online. And I had kind of a hard week last week. I went through something that was a little bit difficult. And on Friday, when it came time to dance, it was like, you know, probably 1, 2, 3 songs in, I was just doing it. I was just like going with emotion. And by like the 4th song, totally hit the dancer's high. I was laughing. I was having so much fun. it's absolute, like it completely shifts the way that I feel. And it wasn't something that I necessarily wanted to do. But I think that's what hooks you, is it's like, it, I don't love the word addiction because I feel like it's, that's such a negative, it's like a dissociative behavior of like, I often, addictions are a way to avoid feeling. And I think dance is the polar opposite, where it brings you into the most like authentic and vulnerable feelings, which is where the real beauty of living this life happens, in those like vulnerable, authentic moments. And it's just like, it feels like a high. And when I started doing it with you, I literally started dancing. I mean, maybe it is like, it does feel, I would actually make the joke that dancing felt like an addiction to me. I started doing it so much, I was like losing sleep because I loved it so much. And I think part of it is that human connection piece, because as a single person, I don't get a lot of human connection in my life lately. And so this is like a safe way to have this authentic, vulnerable connection. And it really, I mean, the dancer's high, maybe that's the right way to say it. To me, it just like, it's like the ultimate experience of being human. It's so powerful and it's so basic and simple, but I just have never really had access to it before.
Have you ever had the runner's high? People know the runner's high, where you run really intensely and at the end you feel that these endorphins kind of jetting
through
totally.
You. Yeah, totally.
The dancer high to me is that times, you know, times at least 10, where the whole body just kind of feels vibrational. Literally, it feels vibrational from the intense dancing you've done the last half hour or hour to the music with your partner. And I just become like, I think it's healthy. Like my whole body just becomes numb and just does. And it just does whatever it does. And I'm like buzzing so hard. And when the music's set, the music's good, and we have a good partner, and you're ready just to play, like you don't even care what's happening. We're playing, we're dancing. It's such a rush.
I think that word you're using, play, I think that's super important. When I was in grad school, I took a class on childhood development, and we had to play at the beginning of every class, and it was so uncomfortable. We talked a lot about it in school. They forced us to spend probably the first, I don't know, 30 minutes of class like playing games with each other. And as adults, play is like one of the most vulnerable things that we can do. And with dancing, you're playing. You absolutely are playing with each other.
We get away from that sometimes in life, right?
Absolutely. I think most adults don't know how to play. We're in our minds. We're thinking, and playing is like a super like embodied, authentic experience of connecting and like being vulnerable. Like, what if I lose? What if I do something stupid? We all are so like, we're just like navigating what we should be doing. And there's not a whole lot of room for play in that.
You can't judge play. And dancing is all about playing. If we're not playing, we're not dancing. We're just performing, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's performing. Can performing be play? Yeah. I think performing is just being in front of somebody.
Depends on the intention. If you're doing it like from a vulnerable, authentic place, for sure.
That's why I dance. I dance to play. I would like to think that's why I live. I live to play. Right? Work hard every day so you can play.
I think you just want to create a life that's authentic, like feels authentic for you and fulfilling.
Yeah.
And me too.
Feels good, right? Everything you do, whether it's all a myriad of feelings, good feelings, bad feelings, but you feel alive. So maybe not feel good, but feeling alive, like everything you're doing is fresh.
Yeah. And authentic. I mean, the work I do with my clients is super, like, we never know what's going to come up. And I have to be playful with them because, I mean, that's part of authentic human connection, I think, is being super vulnerable and like risking and not knowing what's going to happen, but also feeling safe and knowing that you're with somebody. Like, you couldn't dance with somebody who was like toxic. Like, it would be such a perfect representation of like a dysfunctional, abusive relationship if you were dancing with somebody where like you tried to do a dance move and they turned around and like walked away from you or something. It's just like safety is essential in relationships and human connection. And I think with dance, it's a really powerful way to understand the importance of that, the importance of being with somebody who is present with you and pays attention to you. You have to have safety. You have to have safety for play. And I think a lot of people don't play because they experience judgment or they're afraid of judgment.
Dancing definitely brings your connection to the forefront in your relationship because have nowhere to go. And you're forced to learn to interact with your partner. And you're right. You feel exactly what they're feeling. And it's up to you as a couple as a partnership to either do it your way or do it the partnership's way, whatever that whatever that means.
Yeah, there's like you as individuals, and then there's something that you create together, which is what dancing is. You're creating this like third piece.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, I'm curious about like how, so you, I know that you do, sometimes people come see you for dancing when they don't know they're coming to dance. Like it's a surprise for them that they show up at your studio and they don't realize that they're actually dancing. What do you see as far as like relational patterns playing out? Like, are people pretty excited to dance with each other? Are people like super uncomfortable with the vulnerability of dancing? Like what, tell us a little bit about what you see.
It's a whole spectrum. So there's people who come in where, so let's start with the people who don't know they're coming to dance, right? It's like a surprise dance lesson. And there's a spectrum. Both him and her, generally, both in the couple, they're feared out of their mind to the spectrum. They're both crazy excited out of their mind. And then there's also, there's couples where one person's like freaked out and the other person is excited out of their mind. Okay. So, yeah, so it presents challenges on how you bring both couples to the same level, the same playing field. And the best way of doing that is from the very beginning, the fear is mental, I would say. It's a pretty warming environment, so the fear would be mental. And how can we, as quickly as possible, get you out of your mind and into your body and feel your body moving? When your body's moving, you're experiencing, and you don't have time to judge what is happening. So when you're experiencing and the dancing just kind of starts happening, then they start to kind of start build a connection with each other, and they start to feel common grounds and the desire to work and play with each other. There, it's sometimes, so my first session, I put three people through about 8 exercises where from the beginning, they don't know what they're doing, to the end, they're able to move and dance all over the studio with each other. And the first 3 exercises are independent, where you're moving on your own. So to start with, that's even more vulnerable. You're moving on your own, right? And there's 2 other people. There's myself and there's your partner in the studio who are also moving on their own to the music. And they're going through different exercises. They're learning how to move to the timing of the music. They're learning how to move straight forwards and straight backwards to the music. They're learning how to, what I say, articulate their movement. So they have these objectives on how to communicate their movement. And when we can get them through those first 3 exercises and then doing it in partnership, that's when they start to free up, because they've gone through the challenging aspects. They were just kind of like pushed into these challenging aspects on how to just be in the moment and dance by yourself. And then when they're in partnership, it's a lot more fun because they're doing it together. And by the end of the lesson, everybody, through some magical experience, everybody is converted into enjoying dancing with each other.
That's so awesome. So what is it like for you when you get somebody coming in for the first time and you see them being super uncomfortable moving their body? What's that like for you, knowing what you know?
First off, I can't feel that energy. I have to force my own energy of excitement and vulnerability. Because if I feel that, then I'll mirror that, and it'll just kind of perpetuate together, which sometimes is a challenge for me, but it's my job, it's my profession. So as a professional, I try and act as vulnerable as possible by demonstration, right? I'm not trying to show them how to dance. I work to dance like in on their energy level, if that makes sense. And just be goofy or whatever, just like do whatever I feel like doing. So I'm not intimidating, and giving them the permission to be goofy and just start experience and feeling your body move to the music rather than trying to process their movement. So that's how I can get them doing it, by just being vulnerable myself, mm-hmm. being weird and different.
I think you're not just teaching people how to dance. Like, you're teaching people something so much bigger than dancing.
What would you say I'm teaching?
How to be happy in their body, how to be present in their bodies. Like, I think it would make me super sad to see people come in and be so uncomfortable. I know that I felt that at times with you, where you would just tell me to like do what feels good and move my body. And it's a lot easier now. And obviously there is something to be said about like, if you don't know somebody very well, it's hard to be vulnerable and all that. But I think it's super sad that we forget how to be free and authentically move our bodies in ways that feel good. Because I think when we're kids, we do this naturally. And then we have this social conditioning that teaches us that that's bad or that something is wrong with us. And so we have so much shame connected with our bodies. And so I think that it looks like dancing on the surface level, but you're actually inviting people to self-love in a really powerful way.
I have this theory that we are addicted to our minds, where we're moving out of our bodies. Our bodies are what we use to be present and to feel the moment and to be alive. And our minds sense the future, sense the past. But we get so addicted to our minds by being informed on how to do things and what to do. We live in there and we desensitize, we numb our bodies from feeling. And so we lose that life force, if that makes sense. Dancing is about bringing that life force, bringing your awareness back into your body and experiencing life through touch, through feeling, through movement.
Yeah, actually being in your life instead of like thinking about your life.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about quarantine. So what are you doing now that you can't physically be teaching people how to dance in person? What does the future look like for you?
Well, first off, I want to say how quarantine has been a positive in regards that when I started dancing, I did not want to dance by myself because I thought I was like showing off and I didn't want to look stupid. So I would depend on my partnership, right, to dance. And I loved it. And I did dancing because of the partnership. But quarantine has helped me really own my freedom of dancing by myself to the best of my ability, without any shame, without any mind control, if that makes sense. And I've grown a lot through quarantine by learning how to, let's say, love dancing by myself. And the better you are at dancing by yourself, the more you love dancing by yourself, the better you are and the less needy you are in partnership. So I am looking forward to seeing how this solo quarantine dancing has elevated my partnership dance game from when we can touch each other again. And I have been doing virtual classes, and I believe all the students are kind of experiencing that same thing, where you're just learning to take the time and be okay in your body without, you know, external needs, distractions, maybe. So that's kind of been the benefit of quarantine, looking at it on the positive side. It forces you to grow in ways that you might not have done otherwise.
Are you getting feedback from couples who are doing your online dance classes?
Couples are dancing at home for the first time with each other for the first time. And I'm hearing from the ladies that the guys are dancing in ways they haven't danced before. And these are couples that actually had not gone to the studio, experienced it in place. They said that the guy probably wouldn't have gone to the studio. And just learning how to be free and dancing at home through demonstration and through, you know, a virtual class has kind of connected them and opened up their world a little bit on dancing with each other. And they love it. They say it feels good, date night, great workout.
It is a great workout. We didn't even talk about that. It is so hard. I burn so many calories when I'm dancing. I'm drenched with sweat when I'm done.
You know my saying, the better you can move, the better you can dance. Train that body to move to the best of its ability.
Yeah.
And that takes a workout.
Totally. So then what does the future look like for you if, you know, for whoever, we don't know how long we can't touch each other. Like, what does the online world look like for you?
So my mission in life is to #, let's get this world dancing, to teach everybody that they can easily learn how to physically connect and communicate. And they have the power to do that, and they can dance freely for the rest of their lives, or even move freely for the rest of their lives. And in order to make that a reality, online is, I see, the next step in doing so. So I've been, you know, working on understanding, developing, like owning my my program, my curriculum on how to empower each person the best of their ability, right? How do you put them through the experiences where they're their best dancer, they're the best version of themselves? And so now I'm working on, how do I create an online program? How can I help people feel it through video or through whatever, through online teaching? How can they feel these experiences to build the awareness on how to move and dance to the best of their ability? And that's the next step in Let's Get This World Dancing. I'm working on a campaign. I'm looking for to get people involved who would like to help me move this forward and demonstrate and help teach and build awareness on how flow fluently and how a physical language can elevate all our lives as human beings, as a society. So yeah, now more than ever, it's definitely pushed me in the direction of working on that. I don't know if that'll be ready, you know, a year or 2 years, but it is in process for sure.
So for now, how can people find you? How can people dance with you now today?
Ooh la la. Well, today, quarantine day, website www.flowfluently.com. I have a link to free virtual classes and dance parties. You can just click and log in via Zoom. You don't have to show yourself. You can show yourself. It's up to you. And after quarantine, I'm located in Seattle, SoTo, Industrial District. If you are looking to add some, if you're interested in learning how to dance, you start with an introduction class, an introduction private lesson, and I give you a taste, I help you feel what it is, and go through an experience. It's like a crash course of flow. And then from there, we put together a program if you want to just become fluent in the language.
Well, I am so glad that I found you, because it's brought me so much joy, so many good feelings in my life. So I'm incredibly grateful. And thank you so much for telling us your story.
Jasmine, I'm so completely honored to be on your podcast. I'm incredibly grateful. You've taught me a lot as well. I believe our professions go very hand in hand with each other.
Agreed.
And we've developed a friendship on the dance floor, off the dance floor. It's these connections last forever, you know, once you feel them.
Yeah, they're real.
So they're real. It's a real deal, folks. It's so freaking real.
Okay, well, hashtag let's get this world dancing.
Let's do it. Hashtag live your lives. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Thank you for listening to the Live Your Life podcast with me, Jasmine Savari, where I have inspiring conversations that invite you to fully live your life. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for counseling or healthcare services. If you find yourself in crisis, please call 911 or the National Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255.